Hey everyone, I'm Jason V, and this is Local Color. My guest today is Kevin Blodger, co-founder and brewmaster at Union Craft Brewing. Though Kevin originally set out to be a journalist, he really liked making beer. After spending some time in Maryland and Chicago brewing beer for someone else, he and two friends decided to strike out on their own. The result is Union Craft, a craft beer brewery that's taking the city by storm. I sat down with Kevin to talk about his life, the process behind brewing beer, and how sometimes being a black brewmaster isn't without its awkward moments.
I'll just talk for a little bit now.
My name is Kevin Blodger.
Okay, cool. All right. Sorry about that. Yeah. Do you mind just start? Just repeat what you
said. Yeah. I was born in Baltimore, grew up in Northern Virginia. From there, I went to the University of Maryland. Pretty much been in the state ever since, except for 4 years I spent in Chicago.
What were you doing in Chicago?
Brewing beer. Worked for Gordon Beer Shot in the suburbs of Chicago there.
Okay. And then what did you go to school for?
I was an English major at Maryland.
Man, after my heart. I was an English major, too.
Cool.
What was it about English that made you want to major in it?
Well, I started off in the journalism school, and you would go to these classes, and all they would say is that you're never going to be successful as a journalist. You're never going to make money. So after a couple of years of that, I was like, I'm getting out of journalism. I went to English, still have a love of writing, a love of reading. I like the language, you know. I like language a lot, so I have a six-year-old right now, and one of the things he does most annoys me is when he doesn't speak correctly. So it's hard trying to teach him, you know, the proper, you know, use of words. But so I love that. So I went to English. But when I got out of school, I didn't know what I was going to do with an English major. So I, through a friend of a friend, found a guy that was looking for an assistant brewer. On a side note, I started homebrewing during college. I worked at a liquor store. The guy had homebrew kits. I got one and started brewing, and I really enjoyed it. My friends liked my beer I was making. It was fun. So I took a job as an assistant brewer and started brewing beer.
And that you said that was up in the suburbs of Chicago?
Well, no, that was actually here in D.C.
Okay.
So I worked at the District Chop House in D.C. and then went to I worked at a school for a few years where I met my wife. And then from the school job, I took a job at Frederick Brewing, which is now Flying Dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I worked there, and that's kind of where I really, really learned to brew beer.
All right, and when did you graduate college, if you don't know?
I left college in 2000, 99, 2000, yeah, something like that.
So you're not too much older than that. How old are you, like 36?
No, 30, 39. I'll be 40 this year, which sucks. But
no, that's okay, because like I'll be 27 this year, and like I feel like I'm getting old. But then when I talk to older people, they're like, "Oh, you're still a baby."
Yeah, those are like great years of life, man.
Enjoy
the time.
I'm trying to, but it's just really tough because like while I know what I want to do, it's like I have to make money.
Yeah.
And I was in the same position that you were in. I didn't go to journalism school because when I was younger, I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. But I liked writing and people were like, you should be a writer. And I liked reading. So I just went to school for English. And then when I first got out, it was kind of tough going. And now that I'm in the radio industry, I find it to be even like a little tougher because now that I'm in, it's definitely like that, like who you know gets you the job, but then what you know let you keep the job.
Yeah.
And I feel like with the way that things are now, like you never hand in paper resumes anymore. Everything's online. It's just really tough because you just get lost in the tornado of electronic resumes. And it sucks, but I just knew that I couldn't like go to school for business or engineer. I couldn't go to school for engineering because if I designed a bridge, I'd probably kill everyone. I'm terrible at math, but moving on. So in our emails back and forth, you were very direct, like 1 to 3 word answers. And it was kind of off-putting. I'm like, does he not like me or something like that? But now that we're talking, you seem to be very friendly and more talkative.
I don't like emailing that much. it's a chore you have to do. So when I'm emailing, you know, I am very kind of just let's get to the point. And let's do what we need to do.
Right. But when people meet you in person, you seem to be very...
Yeah. I love what I do. I love the city. I love, you know, having fun.
Okay.
But email is just like, That, you know, it's a dreaded task, you know. And like I've tried to get better at it. For a long time, I would just kind of ignore emails, and I'm trying now to kind of, you know, directly address emails as they come in. But gotcha. But you're right, I'm very short and concise in my emails.
No, that's fine. Does he hate me, even though he's never met me? But anyway, so you go to school, you graduate, go up to Chicago for a little bit. Now, sorry if I misheard you, did you start brewing beer up in Chicago, or you didn't start until you came back?
No, I started before I went to Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So I brewed in D.C., like I said, the District Shop House, then went to Frederick Brewing. After Frederick, I took a job here, actually in the city, at the Capital City Brew House that used to be down in the Inner Harbor, right next to where Hooters is. So I brewed there. I was there, I guess, from 2006 to 2007. Caught wind that they were going to close that location. And started looking for a new job. And at the same, they denied me a raise, and I caught wind that they were, so I was like,
I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, so I called everybody I knew in the industry, trying looking for a job, and talked to one of my good friends, Jason Oliver, who used to brew at the Gordon Beers in D.C., is now the brewmaster for Devil's Backbone out in Nelson County, Virginia. And he said, hey, we're opening two Gordon Beers. He was a regional brewer at the time. One right here in Rockville, and one in Chicago. So I hired the guy for Rockville yesterday. But if you want the Chicago job, I can probably, you know, I can get you introduced for the job. Talked to my wife about it. She was like, yeah, let's move. Let's do something fun. She's always down for a road trip or do something crazy.
Cool.
So we decided to move to Illinois. So we packed up and moved to Illinois for 4 years.
How was that experience? I've never been to Chicago. I hear it's very nice. I hear a bunch of things about Chicago, but what was your experience there?
I mean, I loved it there. We lived right outside the city in a town called Naperville.
Naperville?
Naperville, Illinois. Yeah, great, great town. And if you watch, it's funny now, as we watch like reality shows or contestants, there's an exorbitant amount of people that come from Naperville, Illinois that you see on TV shows. We loved it there. I probably wouldn't have left if we weren't coming back to Open Union. But I just thought it was a great time out there. We loved Chicago. We had good times. Our son was born out there, so in 2009. So for the first 2.5 years we were there, I mean, me and my wife had a great time. We were just partying, kind of exploring this new city, doing lots of fun stuff. So that was a great time.
Did you ever go up to Canada? Does it border Canada, or you have to go through another state?
You have to go through another state. So we went to Michigan one time. I'm a huge Redskins fan, so we went for a Detroit Lions game. And we drove.
I won't hold that against you too much.
we drove over the border into Canada and actually stayed in the hotel that night before the game.
Okay.
So yeah, we went up there once.
Okay, cool. Now, you said that the only reason that you moved away from Chicago or back to Baltimore is to open Union. What motivated you? Tell me the story of you from going to Chicago, getting the idea to start Union, and then moving back.
So I have a good friend, Adam Benish, one of my partners at the company. So it's there's three partners, myself, John Zarevitz, and Adam Benish. Adam and I went to Maryland together, lived on the same dorm floor my sophomore, his freshman year. Just became really, really close, good buddies. And so we would always talk, and he started to get heavily into beer around the same time I did. So when I moved, you know, there was a lot of us sending bottles back and forth to each other and, you know, talking about beer. And, like, hey, let's open a brewery one day, kind of just talking about it. And then I guess in about 2009, he hit me up and he was like, you know, I think Baltimore could use a brewery. You should move back. Let's open a brewery. I met this guy, John. He's into it too. So one of the three of us get together. Let's talk about it. So that year, the three of us flew out to San Francisco for the Craft Brewers Conference to kind of look around, see what was there, and see if this was a realistic thing to do. So we went out, checked it out, really got into it, and then kind of formulated this business plan. So I was still living in Chicago at the time. I guess by 2010, it was a reality. We were really going to do this. So I needed to come back to the area. My wife was kind of wanted to come back anyways. Our son was born. She wanted to be a little bit closer to family.
Is your wife from Maryland too?
Yeah, my wife grew up in PG County.
Oh, okay.
Went to Morgan State.
Gotcha.
There was a brewer down here that wanted to come to the Midwest, so we were able to kind of swap jobs. So I came back with Gordon Beers to Rockville. And I was at Rockville until 2012, where we were writing the business plan, getting everything together. Left there, and then we opened Union.
So many people want to be entrepreneurs because there's like stuff like Shark Tank, and they see people like Mark Zuckerberg making billions and billions of dollars off of stuff that they made in their dorm room and stuff. What was the actual process of putting together a business plan and figuring out the cost of making a beer? Was like at any time were you just like, I'm sick of this?
No, because what was great about it is that we had Adam, and Adam was a accounting major in college.
CPA. Okay.
Even though he hates it when I say he's a CPA. And he knew business. So we were able to kind of come in with our ideas, and then Adam was able to articulate that onto a business plan and say, this is what we're going to do. And he did a lot of the legwork and figuring out, like, all right, we're going to bring in investors. This is what we need to write for our investors. And, you know, so Adam – you know, John, I could bring the beer side, John could bring the marketing side, and Adam had the business sense to kind of bring it all together. And put
guys,
it
like the holy trinity of, yeah, of yeah, what it takes yeah, for success. All right, that's good. That's good. I used to drink a lot. I had a problem with moderation, so I really don't drink anymore. But can you explain a little bit the process of brewing beer?
Yeah, so beer is essentially you're making a sugar water. So you're going to take grains that have been malted by a maltster. And so to malt something very, very in layman's terms is you're going to take that, you're going to take the seed, you're going to let it germinate until it's almost about to sprout, and then you kill it and you roast it or you kiln it to get a certain color and certain flavors you're looking for out of the grain. So the maltster does that for us. We get the malt. Once the malt comes in, we mix the malt with hot water and we make what's called a mash. And what's happening in that mash is that the hot water is activating enzymes within that malted grain. It can be malted barley, malted wheat, malted rye, malted oats, spelt. You can malt pretty much anything, any grain. And we're putting hot water, we're mixing that together, and we're activating enzymes that are going to convert the starch in that grain into sugar. And so we're extracting the sugar. It's almost like I kind of say it's like making pour over coffee in a way.
Making
so like
what?
Pour over coffee. So like I make my coffee in a Chemex.
I don't drink, like, what is a Chemex?
So, you know, there's like drip coffee makers where you can put a filter in and you,
oh, okay. Water. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Pour over is you take your coffee, you grind it, you put it in a filter and then you yourself pour the water.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So when you're making coffee in that method, you add water at first, and you let it bloom, you let kind of and then you add more water over top to kind of extract everything you're going to get out of the coffee. So that's kind of what we're doing with brewing. We're adding this water, we're extracting the sugar. Once we've extracted as much as we can originally, we add more water to kind of bring more of that sugar out, more of the color, and to help us get to the level of liquid or wort, as you call that at that stage, W-O-R-T.
W-O-R-T?
Yeah. Okay. So we want to let the wort collect as much wort as we need. Then we're going to boil that wort. And while we're boiling it, we're going to add hops to it. And hops give beer bitterness, flavor, and aroma. We're going to add the hops to it during the boil. To get what we're looking for out of the hops, we might be looking for citrusy flavors or earthy flavors, herbal flavors, fruit. So we're going to add that with the hops. And then once we're done boiling, we're going to rapidly cool everything down, put it in the tank, and we're going to add yeast. And yeast will then eat the sugars that we created during the mash and create alcohol and carbon dioxide. The alcohol, of course, stays in the beer. The carbon dioxide we vent off the tank.
And then that's the entire process?
That's it. Well, that's a fermentation process.
Okay.
Then once fermentation is done, once all the sugars have been eaten, maybe we're going to add hops post-fermentation or dry hop the beer to give the beer a bigger kind of citrusy or tropical aroma. And then from there, the beer will be fined or filtered to remove the yeast, and then we'll package that beer either into cans or into kegs.
You know what you're talking about. Well, it definitely sounds like when you were explaining that it was a guy who loves what he does.
Yeah, yeah, I love making beer.
What was the first beer that Union Craft came out with?
Duckpin. So we kind of came up with two beers at the same time, mm-hmm. but the first beer we brewed was Duckpin, which is our most popular beer.
What was the other? Was it Anthem? Because I've had that before.
No, it's a Balt Alt beer.
Okay,
it's German style brown ale.
Okay, now what's the most recent beer that you guys have come out with?
We just did a collaboration with my buddy Will. Of Austin Beer Works down in Texas called Bolo, which is a dry hop sour beer. We were doing a series called Reunion this year, mm-hmm. where we're bringing brewers who started their career in Maryland back to the brewery to brew a beer with us. So Will, I met Will when he was brewing. He brewed at Frederick Brewing with me, then went on to Barley and Hops up in Frederick, and then you know went down to Texas to start this brewery.
Oh, okay.
So we brewed this beer. It's this kind of really delicate, somewhat hoppy sour beer that's been really, really popular so far.
Okay. Now, how many employees are at Union Craft?
You know, I don't know. I can't give you the exact number, but I'm going to say we're about 20 employees. Right.
I was looking through the website. Now, unless they're not shown there, you're the only black guy there. Was that a common occurrence in your professional life prior to starting Union Craft?
Yeah, you know... it's funny when you talk about race and craft beer because I wouldn't say there's outward racism in craft beer. You don't really, you know, maybe there's some, but I don't pick up that much. You get more kind of ignorant comments than you do racist comments, and I guess you could say they're one and the same maybe. But you know, like there's a famous black brewer named Garrett Oliver. He's the brewmaster for Brooklyn Brewery, He's written several books. He's kind of the authoritative, you know, figure in the craft brewing scene.
Really?
He was the editor of the Oxford Companion to beer. Just a well-known guy, well-liked, very well-spoken, such a great advocate for beer. And I've been asked before, are you related to Garrett Oliver? Are you his son? And, you know, it's like, it always makes you think. One time my dad and I were at Congressional for the 97 U.S. Open. Tiger Woods had just gone big. And this woman came up to my father and myself and said, who are you guys here to see? Oh, we're here to see Tiger Woods. Oh, you guys related to him? my dad just looked at the lady, you know, and like,
oh my God.
it was hilarious. But yeah, so that's happened to me before. But, you know, I remember one time, in fact, it was a black guy said to me, oh, you're the brewer here? Don't make any malt liquor. And then he came up to me later, and then while he was there, I was like, I'm really sorry. I should have said that. Like,
right.
That was an ignorant comment to make. So it's stuff like that. But I haven't seen any kind of outward racism. I won't drink your beer because you're black or anything like that.
Right. Know? But like you said, just ignorant comments, stuff
ignorant
like
comments.
That.
It was there was an article written in Thrillist a couple of months ago that said, why aren't more and more black people in craft beer?
Mm-hmm.
And I had some issues with the article and how it was written, because it kind of ignored the fact that there's more and more African Americans coming to craft beer.
Right.
But it at the same time, it was a good conversation starter. And then you went on to Beer Advocate, which is kind of the leading website for craft beer enthusiasts. And there was a thread about it, and it turned into this kind of this thing of like, in my head, I feel craft beers are they're progressive people. They're very, you know, there's conservatives, there's liberals, but for the most part, it's a very kind of progressive liberal community. And people, you would have thought that like, they had like stepped on their mom's foot or something. The agony of like the fact that they would write about this. Like it was a mix of like color doesn't matter. And I agree with that, but it does in some ways. Like
right.
You want to bring more people, as many people as you can bring to the tent, the better for everyone, I think.
Exactly.
And, or it was a list of, I know black people in brewing, and like there would be one person, you know, my name popped up. I know Kevin Blodger. He's actually a really nice guy.
But did they, like when those people said that they know you, they knew you, did you know them?
No.
Oh my God.
But I think when they say no, I know of, you know,
like you're a familiar.
Yeah.
You're,
so, so it was either a listing of like, to me, it was almost like, I have a black friend, you know, da, da, da. So it was,
I have five black friends. Yeah, I know exactly where all of them are.
Yeah, it was so weird. It was such a weird take on the article because in my mind, it's like, yeah, man, I love craft beer and I want more people to love craft beer. And the bigger the market gets, the more breweries can thrive, the more great beer you can drink. So I think you need to bring more people into the tent if you want that to happen.
Absolutely. I think that what people, like non-minorities, don't understand is like if you're only marketing – well, I don't want to say that because I'm sure that there's plenty of products. Like, are you familiar with Bevel?
Yeah.
Okay, so Bevel is obviously marketed towards black men, but I'm sure that there's white people or Latinos or Asians or something that use Bevel. But I think the problem is that when you don't realize that you are not marketing towards a specific demographic, you're going to look like you don't want them to buy your products.
Well, I'd even say, and take your Bevel example, and let's look at the Oscars. And Stacey Dash gets on Fox and says, well, there shouldn't be BET Awards. And people say, well, there's BET Awards. But white people don't get those. First, yes, they do. And second, that the BET Awards exist because black actors and actresses and musicians were ignored for a long time.
Right.
Think about, you know, with David Bowie passing, they were talking about how he was an advocate for getting more black people's videos played on MTV.
Yeah,
so there's a time that comes that's why there's a BET or there's why this. And maybe some of those models are outdated, but they exist because people were ignored. Bevel came out because there weren't products being made for black men that were shaving and razor bumps and that kind of stuff. So that's why they exist, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know that as a black person, and maybe you can attest to this, because I feel like it's kind of a timeless problem in the black community that oftentimes we get caught up in doing white things like skiing or, I guess in your case, brewing beer. Did you ever have people look at you strange or make other ignorant comments when you told them, like, yeah, I'm gonna start a brewing company?
No, you know, I never really get that. You know, when I meet black people and they find out that I brew, for the most part, they're kind of fascinated by it.
Because really?
You don't know. You know somebody that's a doctor or you know somebody that's this and this. But most people don't know somebody that's a brewmaster or a brewer. And so it was always kind of looked at as more of, oh, that's really cool, you know. I went and got my haircut down the city a couple of weeks ago. What do you do? I'm a brewmaster. And the guy was fascinated by it. You know?
Where'd you get your haircut?
I went to this place called Reflection Eternal.
Yo, I used to go there too, man. They just moved though.
Yeah, they moved like across the street.
Yeah, on the 25th Street. Yeah, man. I have gone there too. That's pretty cool. So you're talking to them about being a brewmaster?
Yeah, and I mean they were so cool about it and wanted to know more about it. And
cool.
You know, so that's the kind of stuff we get. The more things I kind of see is if somebody comes in, they don't assume that I'm the brewer there. So they'll walk right past me to go over to Adam or John.
Have you ever had a situation like that where someone's like, I want to talk to the owner, and you're like, it's funny you should say that.
Yeah. I'm always like, hey, can I help you? You know, they're like, can I talk to you in charge? Yeah. What can I do for you?
Right. And then it's
it's you?
You're in charge?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I definitely. I am. Okay. Can you tell me about a dark time in Union Craft's history, like a time where you thought it wasn't going to work out, or you kind of had imposter syndrome, like who am I to open a brewing company in Baltimore? Can you tell me a story about that?
I think that, you know, it's weird because you hear a lot of people talk about starting a business and how tough it was. It was definitely tough for us, but it wasn't as tough as I think as we all thought it was going to be. We had some angel investors that came in and really believed in us and kind of supported us.
Local investors?
Yeah, we had some local investors, non-local investors, a lot of friends and family.
Sure.
We were able to kind of get some seed money, find a location, and once we had the location, we could host an open house, which brought other people in. They actually got to try beer that I had made. I brought some beer from Gordon Beers that I had made. So they got to see that, like, hey, we knew what we were doing. This is reality. We have a space now. And that kind of helped us. I don't think we had any necessarily say dark times, but there was definitely some times where I was like, man, I'm working for a big company right now that's paying me a decent amount of money. I've just got this new family started. What am I thinking? But my wife was very supportive, especially when we started. I was working a lot of long hours. I'd sometimes go to work at 9 in the morning, wouldn't come home until 2 in the morning. So she held it down. She was very supportive of it. So it wasn't dark. My parents were very supportive. So I've never had a dark times, but definitely times where I was like, am I making the right move? But in the long run, if I didn't take this chance, I'd be regretting it for the rest of my life.
Were there times that you felt like what you're doing is like kind of selfish?
Yeah, I guess you're right. You could say that. Because it was tough. We didn't take a salary kind of at first, which made it tough.
The founders?
The three founders. Okay. So we paid some bills. So we would say each month, all right, I got these couple of bills, and the brewer would take care of that. But we weren't taking home any take-home money at all. So that was definitely a tough time, just kind of relying on our wives' salaries. But through it all, it was a good time. And we can see the horizon like that. Things were going to get good. So never kind of any depression. It would suck when my wife would call me and say, hey, how much money do we have in the bank? Can I go to the grocery store? That kind of stuff.
Right.
But it never a time where I thought, man, this is going to fail or I shouldn't do this.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I was going to ask you. If you don't mind me asking, how's Union Craft doing now?
Oh, we're doing great. We've grown every year. Our sales have improved. We went from 2,700 barrels to about 5,000 barrels to about 7,000 barrels this year. Okay. We'll do about 10,000 next year. And so when I say barrels, that's barrels of beer. So 31 gallons of beer is a barrel. So when you buy a keg, you get a half keg or a half barrel, which is 15.5 gallons. So you think of a barrel of beer as two kegs.
Okay.
That's kind of how breweries measure their growth and how much production they've made.
How many beers are in a barrel?
So roughly in a keg of beer, there's about 128 pints.
And a pint is like the typical glass that you get when you go to the bar.
Well, no, this time they short you and give you a 14-ounce glass. Oh, so a pint is 16.9 ounces.
From a business or operation standpoint, that extra 2 ounces, that adds up to a lot, huh?
It does add up to a lot. And there's kind of a movement now for like a true pint. Because you go to most bars and give you the shaker glasses.
Yeah.
And those are only 14-ounce glasses.
Okay.
So if you're a real beer enthusiast, you want your full pint. Yeah.
You brought up something about the shaker glasses. I want to ask you a question. I've been to bars where they have the regular glass where it just has the smooth edges, and then there's one that kind of has like a bump towards the end, and then there's one that are like smaller on the bottom and they get bigger at the top. Does pouring your beer in a different shaped glass really affect the experience of drinking the beer?
It really does. First off, I think you should always pour your beer into a glass. Don't drink it out of the bottle, don't drink it out of the can.
Okay.
Just putting it in a glass is going to open up a ton of flavors. Then the shape of the glass really does matter. So like if you get, you know, the standard pint glasses, the one you're talking about with the little bubble at the top, that's a nonic pint.
Nonic?
Yeah, and so those were glasses that were made so really no nick, so they wouldn't scratch when you would stack them.
Gotcha.
And then you have your shaker pints. So your standard pint glasses, that's an all-around good glass for beer. It kind of opens up the top. You get the aroma. You get some flavors. When you start to get to different beers, like wheat beers, where the aroma plays a real huge part, like a Hefeweizen, you kind of want a shaped glass that's going to allow that aroma to really come up. You drink a lot of Belgian ales out of tulip glasses for that same reason. They kind of open up at the top to allow all these great esters and aromas out of the beer. Lately, glass companies have been making very specialty glasses. So there's an IPA glass now that I definitely believe enhances the flavor of your IPA. And there's a stout glass. I haven't tried that yet. But that's
I was going to ask you, because lately, when I do drink, I do like to drink... Because the two big differences, it's lagers and ales, correct?
Yeah.
Now, which one is are the lagers the lighter, or like talk a little bit about that?
So a lot of people think lagers have to be they're light yellow beers, Budweiser, Miller Lite. That's what they know about lagers. But lagers run the gamut of colors and flavors. So just like people. So like you can get a dark lager. We have a beer at Union called Black Wing.
Yeah.
It's a Schwartz beer or a black lager. And or you can have, we have a make a beer in the spring, Perfecta Pills. That's a very light kind of straw colored golden beer. Both beautiful beers, both very different tastes. You know? So lagers can run the gamut. The thing that makes a lager is that the yeast you're using prefers to be fermented kind of cold. So a lot of ales are fermented in the high 60s, low 70s. Most lagers are fermented in the high 40s, low 50s. Lager takes a little bit longer to ferment out. You have to let the beer sit or condition, or lager. Lager means to store in German. So you have to let the beer sit for about 30 days cold to kind of smooth the flavors out. And if you do that correctly and you age it correctly, you're going to get this very clean, crisp beer that's going to showcase the water, the malt, and the hops. Whereas ales kind of leave a lot of esters from their yeast. So ale yeast lets you know it's there, while lager yeast kind of gets out of the way and lets the other ingredients shine.
It is like astounding how much you know about beer. Do you ever feel guilty sometimes about making a product that can potentially kill someone?
I do. I'm a huge gun control advocate.
Really?
And so you hear people that are pro-gun say guns don't kill people. People kill people. And I guess you could say that with beer too. I'm not telling you to go out and drink even two beers and get behind the wheel. But I am selling a product that I think tastes good, is fun to drink. I think beer is kind of the beverage of the common man. So like, think about it. When you have a dispute or you want to celebrate, let's go get a beer. Let's go sit down. Think of when Obama with Skip Gates and the police officer, they had a beer summit. They all sat down to drink a beer.
Gotcha.
And talked about it, you know. We say at Union, beer unites. It's on the back of our shirts.
Okay.
And so I think we're making this thing that can be abused, but so can everything else. Food can be abused. So we want you to drink with moderation. We want you to enjoy our product, but I don't want you to drive a car. I don't want somebody to die because someone was drinking our beer or they were drinking our beer.
Right.
So what I kind of more feel conflicted about is I would never want to be part – Baltimore has a lot of issues, and I think alcohol contributes to a lot of those, especially in the poorer communities. And so, our beverage is priced a little bit higher than, you know, kind of the cheaper beers, but I wouldn't want to play into the role of harming a neighborhood in that way.
I see you have tattoos on your arms. Can you show me or like explain which each of them are?
So I have the Union logo over here.
Okay.
And then this is a thing that a buddy of mine, Chris Olson, designed. And that's just kind of represents the grain, the yeast, the barley, and the water, and beer.
Which one would be considered the hops?
So this is the hops right here.
Oh, that's
so
the
kind
grain.
Of hops are like kind of like a coal. Cone-like flour, really close cousin of marijuana. And then I've got these two. These are called mash forks. And this is what brewers used back in the day to kind of stir their mash. Now it's all automatic. But
okay. Now, what about the one on the inside, your right arm?
Oh, so this is the Frederick Brewing logo.
Oh, okay.
This is the place where I kind of learned to brew.
Oh, I see. It's like the beer.
Yeah, so beer bottle kind of cut out with a sunburst behind it.
Now, the sunburst for Frederick and then the Union Craft kind of is the same thing. Is that the inspiration for the logo?
No, when we worked with Union, we wanted something kind of...
Oh, actually, no, I see. That's like a cog.
Yeah, we wanted something like a cog, like something industrial, and that's kind of what we worked with.
On the website, you also say that the worst thing about Union Craft is that it's so close to the wine source. What does that mean?
So when we did that, John was putting the website together, and he needed to put something on there. So those may or may not be my quotes. But I will say that being close to the wine source is great because they stocks so much great beer, so much great everything. But their beer selection, Jed Jenny, the guy that's the beer purchaser there, does such a fantastic job of bringing all these great beers that I spend a lot of money there and a lot of time.
Okay.
I also have a lot of great cheese there, and I love cheese. So. the wine source will can drain my wallet, so I will agree that it is a bad thing. It's so close. Okay.
Now, speaking of that, I know that they have like wine and cheese pairings. Is there a beer equivalent?
Yeah, so they do beer and cheese pairings all the time. We do a lot of beer dinners. The thing with wine is there's only certain there's only so many flavors you're going to get from wine. Beer has a whole different range of flavors, and I think pairs even better with food than wine does.
Really?
Because there's so much variation in beer and so many different flavors.
Yeah, I like, if I had to choose, it'd be beer over wine. Like, wine just, it just tastes like sticks to me. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not a big wine fan either. I can appreciate some of the flavors in there, but yeah, I'd rather have a beautiful Pilsner or a great Saison.
Saison, I've never heard of that.
So the Saison is kind of a French-Belgian beer. Saison means season. And so it's a farm. It's a beer that's brewed kind of mostly on farms.
Okay.
For the workers on the farm, very kind of sustaining, low-alcohol beer.
Okay.
When you're out working in the fields.
Now, with the Union Craft, I know that you went to San Francisco for the craft brewery, craft beer conference. Have you traveled anywhere else, like outside of the country for Union Craft?
No, not yet. We say for our fifth anniversary, we're going to go to Europe.
Okay.
So we'll see if that happens. But we travel every year. We go to Denver to the Great American Beer Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year we were open in 2012, we won a gold medal for our alt beer there. Right. And
that was your first year there?
That was our first year.
We're setting the bar.
Yeah, setting the bar. So. Then in 2014, Balt took a bronze medal at the World Beer Cup, which is an international beer competition. We beat a bunch of German breweries to get that, so we were pretty excited. And then we took a silver medal.
Uh-huh.
Two GABFs ago, so 2014, I guess, for our Old Pro, which is a Goza. It's a sour wheat beer.
Now, when you say sour, is it like actually sour?
Yeah, so we use lactobacillus, which is the same stuff as in yogurt.
Okay.
So it's very tart. And we use salt and coriander in there. So it's got some really interesting flavors. It's our summer seasonal, and it's a perfect beer on a hot day.
I'm so ready for summer.
I hear you.
So what's in Union Craft's future?
A bunch of stuff. You know, kind of right now we're gearing up to brew our spring IPA, Steady Eddie.
Wait, what's it called?
Steady Eddie.
Steady Yeti?
Steady Eddie. Like,
oh, Steady Eddie. Yeah. Okay.
It's a wheat-based IPA with some really unusual hop flavors that we get out of it from the hops that we use. We use some Sriracha Ace, which gives the beer some lemony and dill kind of characteristics. We use another hop called a Zaka. That brings this kind of floral but citrus flavors and really, really interesting beer. We loved that beer last year. Looking forward to it this year. And then kind of looking out, we're kind of outgrowing our space, trying to figure out where we're going to go in the city next. So we've been looking around, trying to figure out something about that.
Now, where do hops come from? Can you grow them in Maryland, or do you have to buy them?
There's actually a movement in Maryland where a lot of guys are starting to grow hops. Flying Dog hosted a symposium that they did it for the second year this year with Maryland hop growers, where you could see some of their hops, try them out, smell them, meet the farmers. So from that, we took just a small amount from our farm up in Mount Airy, and we'll probably continue to work with Maryland farmers. But for the most part, hops in America come from the Pacific Northwest. They're really known for growing these kind of very flavorful, citrusy, tropical, piney hops. And for our German beers, we use a lot of hops directly from Germany.
Okay, now you're talking about working with Maryland growers, do you think that hops could be a way to revitalize the economy of the Eastern Shore?
You know, I don't know what growing conditions are like out there, and I know you have to have very special conditions to grow great hops. So, I mean, it could be. I think that there's over 4,000 breweries right now. So there's the highest amount of breweries.
Wait, in Maryland?
Not in Maryland.
Oh, I was like, geez.
In the country.
Okay.
So there's not enough ingredients for everybody right now. So right now everybody's contracting hops.
Oh,
we're contracting hops out to 2020 now. You know, so if you can grow a crop like that, barley, I think, or hops, there's going to be a need for them, because the big farms, while they're still going to dominate the market, the smaller farms will be able to.
They'll still be able to compete.
Yeah, they'll still be able to compete.
Somebody wants to go and pick up a case of Union. Where can they go?
In the city, I'd say the Wine Source is good for us. Bo Brooks, Lighthouse. I'm trying to think where else in the city. I'm probably missing somebody that's going to be mad at me.
Yeah,
but if you look around, we're at most of your finer liquor stores in the city, and if we're not there, ask for us, they can get us.
And you sell out of a like restaurants carry Union?
Yeah, yeah. So we're in the entire state of Maryland, so you know, any restaurant that's really good has our beer.
any restaurant worth going to yeah. has Union.
Yeah, so we're in restaurants, we're in bars all around the Maryland. We're also in D.C. and Northern Virginia as well.
Where can people contact you guys on social media?
So if you want to email the brewery, it's just info@unioncraftbrewing.com or Union Brewing on Instagram, and I think also Union Brewing on Twitter. You follow me. I'm Kev the Brewer.
On Instagram?
On Twitter.
On Twitter,
and
okay.
Kev Brew on Instagram.
Kev Brew on Instagram. Okay, yeah. Cool. You want to mention anything we haven't already gone over?
Come out to the brewery. We're open every Thursday and Friday from 5 to 10, and then we're open Saturdays from 12 to 5. On Saturdays, we do tours and tastings, so you can come out, try the beer. Most times, it's me there leading you around, giving you a tour of the brewery. So Saturdays are really fun. In the summertime, it gets great. Set up food trucks out. We have food trucks year-round,
okay.
But we can set up a beer garden now and kind of hang out.
All right, cool. Kevin, I want to thank you for sitting down with me today.
Yeah, no problem. It's a great time.
Local Color is written, edited, hosted, directed, and engineered by me, Jason V. Local Color's website was designed using the Morning WordPress theme with website hosting provided by Skylar Newman. Media hosting is provided by Blueberry Podcasting. Visit blubrry.com to learn more. Local Color's theme music is by Dame Funk and was provided with permission by Stone's Throw Records. I'm Jason V, and I'll be back with more Local Color.